A Tucson courtroom is the scene of an evidentiary hearing that begins today to assess whether Barry Jones, who's been on death row in Arizona for more than 2 decades, was given an adequate trial. Jones was convicted of murdering his girlfriend's 4-year-old daughter, Rachel Gray. The case has been through a number of appeals, but Jones' current attorneys with the Federal Public Defender's Office in Arizona argued that Jones didn't receive effective counsel, and that violated his Sixth Amendment rights. With me to talk more about the Jones case and the hearing that begins today is Liliana Segura. She's a senior writer for The Intercept. Liliana, how did Barry Jones become the prime suspect in this murder, the murder of Rachel Gray?
The way that Barry Jones gets caught up in this very quickly, essentially, is that he was the boyfriend of the mother. They lived together in his trailer, hadn't been together for very long. But he very quickly, along with the mother, becomes suspect number one. And in a matter of hours, his home has been searched, his car has been, you know, pulled over, and he finds himself being interrogated for about 5 hours. A pretty aggressive interrogation where they're trying to elicit a confession. So Barry Jones essentially ends up on death row for this crime, but in the intervening years, it's been 23 years, the sort of medical evidence that supports the theory of the crime has fallen apart.
In a recent letter to Jones's attorneys, the Arizona Attorney General's office conceded that the current Pima County Medical Examiner didn't dispute the conclusions of the experts. How much convoluted stuff is there? You mentioned that the medical aspect of things, the medical evidence has fallen apart. Can you go into more detail on that, please?
The theory of the crime was that Barry Jones, at some point within a kind of 4-hour time frame on the afternoon before Rachel Gray arrives at the hospital, the theory is that Barry Jones sexually assaulted and beat this little girl in a way that caused this intestinal injury. She died of something called peritonitis. The problem is that the investigators never really talked to the doctor who did the autopsy. They never really talked about the time of injury and the time of death and what that time frame would really look like. So the entire case was sort of built around this idea that Barry Jones had this little girl with him at points the day before, which provided the window of opportunity for him to inflict these wounds, except for the medical evidence doesn't line up. And essentially, over the years, Barry Jones's appellate attorneys have collected a lot of reports, a lot of expert opinions from medical doctors who say, you know, not only is the theory presented at crime impossible, but that injury likely happened, you know, days before, even well before the window of time presented by the state as, you know, when Barry Jones supposedly did all these things. The other important thing is that the mother of the girl was tried right before Barry Jones. They had back-to-back trials about a month apart. At that trial, the same expert testified very differently, that the injuries had likely occurred 24 hours or so, that were, you know, the injuries were consistent with having occurred some 24 hours before. At Barry Jones's trial, that becomes a 12 hours before, which is precisely the sort of window that the state presented as when Barry Jones, you know, did what he did.
Did he always strongly deny any involvement in this? And did prosecutors and judges just sort of say, okay, well, sure, but because his representation was so poor that no one really thought to believe him and look into this more deeply until all these years later?
Barry Jones has maintained his innocence from day one, and actually watching that interrogation tape is pretty harrowing. You know, he essentially is told at the start of it that this little girl has died. He didn't even know that she was dead at that point. And what follows is this, like, incredibly sort of emotional, sort of traumatized display, which, you know, the cops then accused him essentially of acting and saying he was faking it. I've read his letters from jail. I mean, I spoke to him very briefly, but his behavior is very much in keeping with what one would expect from somebody who's been, you know, wrongly accused of this. But putting that aside, I mean, that's obviously a subjective observation. I mean, putting that aside, there's just no evidence at all connecting him, no reliable evidence really connecting him to this crime. And so, you know, I think that his lawyers absolutely dropped the ball. What's especially damning is that his trial attorney wrote an affidavit many years ago that, you know, he couldn't really explain why he didn't do a better job investigating this case, but that it was possible he might have thought that Barry Jones was guilty based on the state's version of the, you know, theory of the case, which, if your own defense attorney isn't isn't sort of in a full-throated way insisting upon your innocence in that scenario, you're the odds are stacked against you.
It's an evidentiary hearing. What are the best outcomes for Barry Jones, and what are the other possible outcomes?
Well, the best outcome for Barry Jones would be for the judge to throw out the case. Well, for the state to vacate the charges, essentially, the judge to vacate the conviction, or the state to admit, you know, we're dropping the charges against this man. That does not seem likely to happen. Well, the state does not seem likely to drop the charges. A judge could vacate the conviction. It's also possible that the judge could decide that Barry Jones is entitled to a new trial, which often happens in cases like this. At that point, it would be very difficult, I think, for the state to try Barry Jones again. This is a 22-year-old, you know, case at this point. A lot of the witnesses aren't around. But what I've seen in cases like this a lot is that the state will sort of drag its feet in deciding what they're going to do. So it's an open question.
Liliana Segura is a senior writer for The Intercept. The Barry Jones hearing began this morning and is scheduled through November 9th.